Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father and God, our blessed and holy and wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, living God, thank you for the love of Jesus that have called us out of the highways and the byways of life, out of our very desperate, sinful condition, into a new life more abundantly and unto life eternal. Thank you, Holy Spirit, living God, for the work of sanctification that you have begun in us. We pray that it is completed in righteousness at the last day of our life. I pray that you guide us in your worship, in your love, and in your service. Thank you for the great, rich blessings we have received this morning through your work in everybody here. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be fully sanctioned, hallowed, and accepted in thy sight. For you are alone our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Inactive Christians. Val. Okay. Well, we have been talking about three types of Christian that do exist in God's church today. Can you tell me who they are?
The proactive, inactive, reactive.
Very good. B, you're very good. And which type of a Christian do you desire to be?
A proactive. A professional.
Amen. A proactive Christian with all of the power and the blessing that come with it. But sometimes we as proactive Christians find ourselves as reactive Christians. And as long as we journey on this earth, there are times in our life, even if we are the most proactive, there are times in our life where our weaknesses will kick in and we will find ourselves reacting to fear, frustration, failure, and hurt feelings in an ungodly way, in a harmful way that can harm us, harm our families, harm our friends, and harm others. But as we have seen in the life of many, like the prophet Jonah and others, that his fear took him the wrong way. And then the love of God never left him. And when the circumstances of life became severe, he chose to become a proactive Christian again. So if we desire to be proactive Christians through daily prayer of humility and through seeking the true knowledge of God and through seeking the help to serve God, we can become, even when we are struggling as reactive. But we have to be very careful, because a reactive Christian can go both ways. A reactive Christian can become proactive, as did Saul, who became Paul, and the prophet Jonah and many others, and also Peter after he denied Jesus. He was reactive and became proactive, a very powerful preacher. We can also risk becoming inactive Christians. Inactive Christians is a condition that we really have to work very hard to become. It's not a condition that we want to see ourselves in, because it does not just destroy every good gift God has given us. It takes away the rest of the blessings from us. And then we become a burden and a charge upon everybody else. And life becomes without purpose. It's a very self-centered life, a life without Christ. There is some belief that God exists, but it is a self-centered life that becomes self-destruct, family-destruct, church-destruct, community-destruct. And if you look around us, here in this country and throughout the world, it is the inactive believers that is causing the tremendous harm to this earth and to our fellow man. You know, if you look throughout history, whether it's the Dark Ages or today, it is people who believe in God who are causing great destruction to humanity. Isn't that something? Always been. Who crucified Jesus?
Church.
issues?
We did.
The reactive and the inactive believers in God. That's what I say. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, including his own people. Yet they rejected him. Remember that. They were going to church just like us every week.
Yeah.
They were very active in the church, just like us. But it's unfortunate that when Jesus came to save them by his own love, they rejected that love. And all of their fears, frustration, hurt feelings, led them into anger toward him. And rather than dealing with the anger in all the proper way, they caused the anger to grow into violence until they have sought to kill Jesus. Inactive Christians do not just become the burden, but also become the cause of great many harm to God's families and God's people. And that is what we do not want to become. And we have already read the story from the mouth of Jesus Christ our Lord regarding the talents and how God desired only one thing. Jesus came to bless and to save the human race. That's why I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I fully believe there is no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved and blessed. No Buddhists, no Mormons, none of these names that are all created by mankind. There's only one creator of all things. And why I believe in Jesus, because, you know, he said, try, ask in my name.
Yes.
Versus someone else's name. And see the outcome. This is the evidence of faith that can only come through prayer, a proactive life in Christ. And then you read his word and compare it to every other word, and you try to obey this word and follow it, it works. It's the power. It is the power of God unto salvation. And then when you receive such power, you don't want to keep it yourself, neither do you want to bury it. You want to share it with everyone else. Amen? And that is exactly what the inactive Christian did not do. God has given him a gift to bless his life and his family and God's people, and he decided to bury it. And many people have reached that very depressive state in the church, and they actually left the body of Christ and they withered away. We don't want to get there. We have read about those who are inactive. God will take what they've got and give them to those who have even more. Is that justice?
Yes.
Is that justice?
Yes.
Here you are, God has given you 5 talents and gifts, and you put them into work. It blessed your life, it blessed your family, it's blessing his church. And the Lord is saying, you know, you are very faithful and you know how to manage the gifts. I have so many people in this world that are hurting, and I can trust you to give you even 5 more. And not just that. You know, the guy who do not want to use his gift and he's burying it, I'm going to take this and trust it to you. Is that justice?
Yes, very.
That is justice. I have seen parents writing their wills. And they have different kind of kids. You have kids who are proactive, who know how to manage and appreciate every gift and earn their way. And they have other kids who like to spend. And they decided privately to write their will. They have tried all of these years to treat the kids all the same, but some decided to live life in a squandering way, and the other decided to appreciate every gift and to use it wisely. And they have wrote most of their wealth to those who know how to use God's blessings wisely. Now it's quite sad, because when the parents passed away, and when the squanderers discovered that they have wrote everything to their other siblings, what happened?
They started killing
them. They got very angry. They got quite angry, and they took their sibling to courts and all of that kind of a mess. You know, that's how the inactive servant believed, that he's told that God is unjust to give him a gift and to require that he puts it to work for his blessing and the blessing of his family and the church and others. So it was taken away and given to that guy who had 10. Now, the other question is, in 31 to 46, Jesus gives us clarity about those who will not just be blessed on earth, but those who will also inherit eternal life among the believers. He said that the Son of Man will come as the great shepherd, and he will begin to separate the sheep from the goats. So in God's church, there is the wheat and the tares, and there's also the sheep and the goats. Jesus said the sheep will be placed on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. And only the sheep will inherit the kingdom of God. That is eternal life. So remember that the sheep and the goat were fed by the same shepherd, were given water by the same shepherd, were protected by the same shepherd, perhaps served in the same church. Unfortunately, the sheep will make it to heaven, the goats will not. And he told us why. He said, because I was hungry and you were very proactive serving me. I was sick. You took the time to come and pray for me and visit me. I was in prison. You came to me to give me hope. I was naked. You shared from the blessings that you had to clothe me. And Jesus said, and these people will ask him, Lord, where did we see you naked and hungry and thirsty and in prison and sick? And we did all of the things to you. Jesus said, whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. Well done. Enter ye into the joy of my Father. That's the proactive. They are not living a self-centered life. They understand that their breath is a gift of God. If the breath is gone, all the blessings cease. So they know when they wake up in the morning, whoa, God has given me another day. And now not just that, he has given me mental abilities, physical strength, social blessings. He has given me a job. He has given me spiritual richness. He has given me financial blessing. He has given me all of this. I have a purpose to live for today. Lord, I consecrate my heart and mind and soul, all the gifts you've given me. I need you, Lord, to take control and to guide me today into investing all of these gifts for the blessing of my family, the blessings of everyone that comes my way, the blessings of my employer, my co-workers, the blessings of your church, and the blessings of the government. If we live every day as our last, how would we live it? Knowing that we're going to have to give an account before the Good Shepherd.
Such a great job.
Would it be a curse or would it be a blessing if the Lord disclosed to you the numbers of your days?
That wouldn't be a blessing. We'd worry, I'm jealous.
And that's why the Lord is just. He didn't tell us exactly the numbers of our days, but he told us that our days are numbered. So if they are numbered, how would I like to invest every hour of every day? You know, I'd like to invest it in the abundant life that Jesus came to give. The abundant life is the joy that comes, the fullness of the soul, when you share your life, your time, and resources with others in a wise way. I do not share God's blessings with others for their approval. I already feel, as a sinner, approved by my Savior. I feel good about that. That's what maximizes my self-esteem. How can a righteous Savior love a sinner like me, but he loves me truly? And he has blessed me with a wonderful life, and he has given me great blessings, and I know the secret of the best life to live, and that is to share your life and everything God has given you with others. If you are able to talk, it's amazing. I run into people in elevators, in stores, everywhere, and I say hi to people I don't know.
Right.
Wisely. I'm not saying that because I want their approval.
No.
or the acceptance of me, or for them to say something nice back to me. I feel loved by God. That love naturally springs forth. And because the Holy Spirit dwelleth in you, you have no idea what is going on in the life of that person that God placed you with.
That's true.
Now, I'm not saying hi to everyone I pass by. And I'm not saying hi to everyone that is behind me in line. I say hi to everyone that the Holy Spirit inspired me to speak to. And you know, many a times you will hear answer like that. I said, how are you today? Well, I wish I had a better day.
Wow. That helps.
I hear that a lot. And I always ask the second question, what do you think should happen today to make your day a better day? And you will be amazed how people open up.
That's true.
And you will hear some things that break your heart.
Just need somebody to talk to.
And you know, just by uttering a few words, I would sincerely pray for you that God bless your heart and mind and soul and address the problem in front of them. And you will hear the response back.
I appreciate it.
I really appreciate that. I need it. And you see tears coming down my eyes. And here's one encounter. Is that Jesus himself?
Yes, Jesus.
That's what Jesus said. It's amazing how you can achieve the highest self-esteem by expressing the love of God in truth. Unconditional. You receive it back. Jesus said, 100-fold. And often when people ask, how am I doing? You know my answer already.
Yes.
I visited a beautiful lady. Her name is Shilba, in one of the nursing homes that I visited in San Lorenzo. And he said, Pastor, I'm not going to ask you how you're doing. I said, well, that's fine. He said, because I know your answer. You're always blessed and thankful.
And hopeful.
You are prayerful and hopeful. And I'm trying to be that way every day. I'm very glad she got that message and she's living by it every day. I tell you, Shilba was declared dead 10 years ago.
Whoa.
Shilba has been lying on her back for 12 years. I don't know if I have strength to tolerate that. On her back for 12 years. But you know, her spirit is so sweet. When I go and visit Shilba, it's not about a duty. It's about a blessing that I need. You go and give, you receive back, and you see the evidence of faith, how God is loving people in that condition, and how they are a great ministry of hope and salvation to great many people. So, there are many blessings on this earth that we do not receive when we become inactive or reactive, that we can only receive when we are proactive. And we can do that everywhere, whether you're a student or whether you're an employee, employer, whether you are a pastor, you can receive those blessings every day, even if you're in a nursing home. You can be meals on wheels. You can go and visit your next door neighbor who cannot get out of bed. And you can tell them how much God loves them, how much you love them, and pray for them. Amazing. I was sick, and you visited me. Amen? So this is the summary of what Jesus is saying, that our blessings on this earth become hundredfold. This means we will never lack anything. Everything little will become much. We will not lack anything, for God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. And amazing in Deuteronomy 28 that everyone that comes your way and do you good, the Lord will bless that someone. So you don't have to ask for someone to bless you. Isn't that amazing? Because you are proactive, everyone, whether you know that individual or you don't know that individual, that comes somehow to bless your life, God will bless that individual. That your life will be a blessing, Jesus said. Today, I would like to go into some of those traits of the inactive Christian, which I pray we would never have to become. And if there are some family members who are inactive, we who are proactive must take the time to pray for them. Because here's the sad news. Jesus said that in every home there will be those who are saved and those who are lost. One will be taken and one be left. There will be two workers in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. We have a responsibility. God placed us in our families, not just for our sake, but for their sake as well. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick to sin. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he or she had committed sin, it shall be forgiven them. But we need to be proactive in prayer. Spiritual characteristics, these are the people who can drain you because they want everything from you and they give little or nothing back. Now, I don't know, even in my state today, I don't like to be around these people for long. And sometimes I feel I can only invest little because they will use it in all the wrong ways. Many times people come to me who are drunk. And sometimes I go to the gas station and there is a con artist there.
Yeah.
I already had my experience, I already made my mistakes.
Right.
You know, I did not have the knowledge, I did not have the experience, and I earned it. And they come and tell you a wonderful lie. So they can get money to hurt themselves. And in the process they hurt others. Yes, God has given me whatever He gave me with finances to bless others. As I said three times today, wisely. Not emotionally. Not emotionally. You know, about a few months ago, I was in the gas station and this guy had his car open and he was just going to everybody, "I don't have any gas, I am going my destination, and if you can just spare 50 cents for me to fill gas." And I was one of those who gave him the money. You know, when he went to the third guy far away, I was going there to plug in the number and I looked and he has a full tank of gas. And not just that, another buddy of him just came by and he said, "How much have you collected?"
What?
And he told him how much he collected and said, "I collected also this amount. Let us go and pay it and get our dope." I participated in that. I didn't know. Okay, I acted the best I can, but I learned from that experience that we need to pray for wisdom as to how to utilize every gift God has given us. Now, God knows my heart.
Your heart.
God knows my heart. I did what I believe was right in the eyes of God, and someone abused it. I don't have to answer for that. Someone else has to answer for that. But we can really, truly help and bless other people if we pray for wisdom as to how to use the gift God has given us. Dead Sea pattern. Use all means possible to take and give nothing back, and sometimes what they give back is very harmful. And we don't want to be inactive Christians. These have a form of ritualistic godliness and yet without power. Seasonal believers. They go to church maybe on Easter Day just for the ritual. They go to church perhaps on Christmas Day just for the ritual. Family goes, everyone goes, that's the time to go. Absolutely no commitment of heart and mind and soul. And no investment of God's gift in them. Now, these people carry certain traits of character that is very harmful to them and to everyone around them. Let us read them and explore them a little bit to make sure that that is not what you are going through. And if it's happening in your family, there is something to be done about it. If it's happening in the church, and it is, there is something to be done about it. So let us read a little bit more, because we are living on those last days. And the devil is working overtime to deceive even the very elect. Let us open 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Listen to what the Holy Spirit have instructed the Apostle Paul to write unto the church regarding the last days. And let us examine this a little bit. You may be struggling with one or the or two of these. You may be struggling with three of these. It does not mean you are inactive. It could be that you are reactive, struggling to become inactive, and the Lord is calling you to reverse things back with His help to become proactive. So let us look at those traits that should be depicting the lost in God's church in the last days, and to see if we are among these, and where is Jesus trying to take us from here. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Boy, we're living them right now. And it is worse than last year. And last year was worse than the prior year. Every year things are getting worse. There are riots all over the world now. People are so angry, and they are taking down governments. And there are also those who are so greedy and don't care about how the poor feels or whether they will have bread as long as they have another billion over the 10 billion. That is signs of the time. The hearts of man is gross and wicked, the Bible says. And Jesus said that the love of many shall wax what?
Cold.
Cold. Said, perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is that happening today? Yeah. Do you really want to choose to be a lover of your own self? I hope we are just struggling with the love of self. I hope we did not reach the point in life that I love myself all the way unto death. Because it does lead to death. Death of spiritual, mental, physical, social, emotional, academic, and financial blessing. That's the beginning. And then eventually loss of oneself. Jesus said, what a man shall profit if he gain the whole world and lost himself. Love of self chills our heart toward others. Love of self want us to invest the gifts to satisfy our own pleasures rather than investing time and resources to express the love of God in genuine unto others. And that's why God allowed the first thing to be unveiled. Love of self is used as a self-preservation, because there is a hole in the soul. We have learned throughout life, since I was not loved in all the right ways as a child and as a teen growing up, it's a reason for me to love myself. And you hear many philosophers and many psychologists saying, you know, you have to love yourself. And I know psychologists and counselors who ask the counselor who is struggling, what will make you feel good about yourself? Well, if I have a boyfriend, if I have a girlfriend, if I have this and this and that, what does it take for you to have this? So they actually feed the fire even more. I know some who started with Christian counseling, and they began to experience the moving love of Jesus for them unconditionally, the healing love of Jesus from the past. And they began to develop a brand new identity. And suddenly, social circumstances changed. And they began to join other groups. And suddenly, the love of Jesus began to become cold. And suddenly, depression began to creep in again. And physical symptoms and mentals. And they ended up with non-Christian counseling. And now what a mess. What a mess. Does Jesus still love them?
Yes.
I tell you, as long as we are not dead yet, the love of God still survives. But we have to make the choice to accept it before things become a great loss, as the Bible says. Love of self is self-destruct. You know, to love myself is to love Jesus for saving my soul. I don't deserve to live today. I'm a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. I shouldn't be here today. So why should I love myself? Whom should I love? I should love the Savior who have saved and redeemed and sustained, and He is yet lavishing me with blessings, and for me to live, I live Christ. That is the love of Jesus toward others. That is the best way to love your life. So you can love your life as long as Jesus lives in you, and as long as His love is alive in you, and that you are able to express it and share it with others. Life is worth living this way. But the love of self is dangerous. The reason people drink, and the reason people smoke, use dangerous drugs, end up in promiscuous relationships, is because they are trying to satisfy the deep desires of the soul. But they are going about it the wrong way. The love of self leads us to the other traits of character. So let us look at them. It says here, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous. Of course, the hole is not getting smaller inside. The hole in the soul is getting bigger. So you see, you are driving a Corolla DX, and you see, you've been driving it for 10 years, and you see someone else just pulling next to you with this brand new car, with all of the new technology in it. And you suddenly look and say, whoa, how come I don't have this? How come I've been working all of these years and serving God all of these years, and I don't have this car? How about a house? How about a new computer? A new cell phone? Something else in the hand of someone else. Covetous. Why? You are trying to satisfy the deepest need of the soul based on self-centeredness. Not Christ-centeredness. Christ-centeredness says, boy, I am richly blessed. I am richly blessed. And then the wisdom of God comes and said, I don't know if I want to own a car like that today and end up with a loan of $25,000 to $30,000. I think I'm very thankful I have a car that is economical, that is taking me everywhere. I'm enjoying life. I don't have the distress now worrying whether I'm going to have money at the end of the month to pay this. And then insurance goes up high. And boy, if I went to a park in a parking lot and someone pushed their door against my door and I have a scratch, here is another distress I have to deal with. Should I call the insurance? It's going to go up high. Maybe I should find someone else to fix it. And here goes my new car. It's amazing how the love of God grants us a completely different mindset. But those who are self-centered always covetous because the hole is getting bigger. The more you do of it, the more you want. That car is not working, I need another one. This phone is not working, I need another one. Okay? This job is not working, I need another one. This friendship is not working, I need another one. And this bottle of wine is not working, I need another one. I feel saddened because I visit the liquor store a lot. Have my Muslim buddy there who owns it. And I see this happening every day. And I cannot sit there for long anymore. I see people completely sick. Coming to the store once and twice and three times a day. It never ends. It never ends. But I'm very grateful because they don't know that I'm praying for them. And many a times I would talk to someone who opens with me. If he just look at my eyes and say hi to me, I take the advantage to say hi. And sometimes I ask, how many packs do you smoke a day? In front of the owner. And the owner looks back to me and he starts laughing. Because he's losing business.
That's true.
After I give the answer. And God was good that I was able to convince someone to return the pack back.
Wow.
I said, I think you can do much better without it. He said, you know, I give up smoking for 2 months and I'm just coming back to it. I said, you know, if God is saving your lung and your life from misery, why do you want to lose it? You know something, my mom just told me that yesterday. this has to be from God. Sorry, I'm not going to buy this today. It's amazing. It's amazing. Just people need to know that there is a way out. And we have to invest every gift God has given us in their love. In their love. So covetous. You covet everything because you are self-centered and because the hole is not being filled. Secondly, you become what? Boasters. It's amazing. I see guys, and I've seen that on TV, college students feeling depressed, too much stress, they don't know how to manage except they drink and party. And I have seen them making a big party and getting all the alcohol shots to see who can drink the most without being drunk. Did you ever see that before? Yeah, I hope you didn't participate in that. And if you are young, I hope you are wise enough not to even get close to that. And then I see these guys boasting. They are boasting that well, some of them got 3 shots, others got 7 shots, and I see people vomiting. Whoa. But they were boasting. Boasting about what? Misery. You see the problem? Self-centeredness slowly becoming self-destruct. You become to covet things and people and matters that harm you, and then you boast about it as it is harming you. And you've seen these guys who say they have slept with how many women, right? Mm-hmm. You heard that before? This is exactly what the Bible is saying going to be happening in the last day to the inactive Christians. And then it continues, you're proud. You know when you have very sort of low self-esteem? Pride becomes your defense mechanism. You become very proud of yourself. You talk big when you know you're very small. You want a great sense of significance before you feel insignificant. And pride puts you in lots of trouble because the Bible said that pride comes before what? Destruction. Before a heavy fall. It put many people in fights. Anger never rise high without any control. Fears and frustration, hurt feelings become the motivation for you to act on your pride. I hope that is not us today. Love of self lead to covetousness, boasting of things that destroy, proud to defend our own significance, blasphemous. You know how many people take the name of God in vain today who call themselves Christians? Blasphemous. Over the little things of life. Even when they use the word, my gosh. Uh-oh. Whose name is that?
God.
You're taking the name of God in vain. We learn those things. To deal with our own needs and stuff. And then G. Whom are you talking about?
Also G-O-D.
Whom are you talking about? You know, I know people who don't know even go to church at all. Over the most sinful things they say, Jesus Christ.
Right. I don't like that.
Blasphemous. Are you watching what comes? It's the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of God in vain. But when we become inactive Christian, that is what we do. When we pray and take the name of Jesus in its holy manner, and when we experience the power of the name of Jesus, we never utter that name in vain. But when we don't, the devil uses it in us to make a mockery out of the name of God. It's okay if you're going to go through crisis. And I have seen atheists, when the fire breaks out in their neighborhood, they said, oh my God.
Yeah.
Did you hear that before? When they suddenly see that they are helpless and powerless against the forces of destruction, they say what? Oh my God. Well, I wish they say that in a sincere way. maybe they would experience the power of that God saving and redeeming them and changing their heart and mind and character and life. They become blasphemers because they believed in self. They were self-righteous. They were boasters. They were proud of their knowledge that there is no God. Mm-hmm. And suddenly Christ has come, they take the name of God in vain. Such a vicious cycle, isn't it?
Interesting.
And I see many Christians, just to fit in a group, they began to adopt this lingo. They move from reactive into inactive, rather than from reactive into proactive. And the Bible is saying this is going to be taking place in the last days. And this is our choice. And the next one is disobedient to parents, of course. And you don't have to be a child to disobey a father or a mother who are godly. Listen, the Bible says that obey your parents in the Lord, for it is true. Now, parents who are not in the Lord, unfortunately, should be disobeyed. Especially if the counsel they are advising is against the living words of God. I know a mother who taught her child to steal. Should the child obey? I know parents who are teaching their kids to lie for the sake of financial gain. Should they obey?
No.
That's what the Bible says. Obey them in the Lord if you have a godly father, a godly mother, who really care and love you, and they give you a counsel that is hard for you to adjust to, accept it still and say thank you. And it is better to tell mom and dad, I'm really struggling in this area. I need your constant love and pray for me. You see, you're still connected. Than to disobey and get angry because of pride, covetousness. You know, when parents sometimes tell the kids, I don't feel comfortable. The kids want to go to spend the weekend with some friends. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem always happening in families. And the parents inquire about the friends and inquire about everything. They said, you know, even though I trust you, but I don't trust Satan. I'm afraid, I have that feeling in my heart that something is going to hurt you. And the child answered back, so you don't trust me? Covetousness. Love of self lead us into blindness and pride and everything else, and then some foolish things come out of our mouth. Mm-hmm. So it says in the last days, kids will be disobedient to parents. But do you need to be a child to disobey? Well, listen to this. My mother wanted to go to the doctor. All of us are adults. I'm here in America. Have my sister there. Have my brothers there in Egypt. I have other sisters there. Have nephews and nieces. She wanted to go to the doctor, and she told me that she called upon my brothers and my sisters to come because my other sister is also sick. And both of them need someone to help carry them and walk with them in the street. And she said that she have called upon my brother and my sisters, and everyone began to give a reason why they couldn't come. One said, I have this opportunity to make some money, and I already gave the appointment and I cannot come. The other has some kind of a soccer match that he does not want to miss. See, love of self that leads to disobedience. Someone have forfeited and forsaken a great blessing from heaven. Now, if I was home, I'd be very delighted and happy to be with my mom and to take her to the doctor.
Right.
Because I know what is a blessing.
Right.
Even if I'm at work, I would say, excuse me, I'm going to take a couple hours off.
It's your mother.
That is when you are proactive, not inactive. And it's sad enough that most of my brothers and sisters do not go to church. They are seasonal. Oh. Their God is becoming money. And that's why they're having lots of problems with each other. And lots of problems in the community. And I'm praying for them so earnestly every day, 3 times a day. That's my responsibility. But do I love them less?
No.
No. Would I express the love of God to them in every way that I can that is wise? Yes. They're my family. And the next is unthankful, unholy. It's a problem in many Christians. Are we thankful for the blessing God has given us? And are we expressing our gratitude with the attitude of servitude? Lip service does not work.
Action.
Absolutely. Faith without works is dead, being alone. If you say, I am very grateful, you got to show it.
Right.
Because it's an expression of true love. Yes, it is good to say thank you. It helps.
Right.
But thank you must be carried with an action. What are you giving back? If someone loved you and expressed that love in any way, whether it's social, financial, emotional, spiritual, in any way, how are you reciprocating back? What is the attitude of gratitude? It is very unfortunate that people who come from their home with an unthankful attitude, they carry that to the church. They take everything for granted. All what they are doing in the church, they're complaining about the pastors, about this committee, about that committee, because they're inactive Christians. They were there for the take. They didn't learn how to give back. No attitude of gratitude, no appreciation for what has been done for them until they began to earn it when they lose the blessing. We don't appreciate what we have until we lose it.
That's true.
But if we learn to show the attitude of gratitude to God, we will naturally invest our lives for His honor and glory and love and share it with everybody else naturally. I love people because they're God's people. I hate my sin, but I don't hate myself because God loves me. I hate the sins of others, but I don't hate them because God loves them. And as He is still loving and helping me every day, I have the opportunity and the obligation to love others as He had loved me. So for those who have been expressing God's love to you in your family and outside your family, how are you expressing that love back with the attitude of gratitude? It's unfortunate that the attitude of ingratitude brings about a host of problems to our lives. We are never content. And because we are never content, we're going to blame the whole world for our condition. And who would like to be around you? Who would like to befriend you? If you are draining everyone's mental and physical and social and emotional and financial resources and contributing nothing back like the Dead Sea, who would like to invest in you or in a relationship with you? Adopt the attitude of gratitude with the heart of servitude. It can only serve you and bless your life tremendously. And unholy, of course, they are unholy. That is given. They don't have a righteous heart. They have a gross and wicked heart. They are far away from the commonwealth of Israel, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit is not Lord over the heart and mind and decision. The other spirit does. And I pray that that is not our condition today. Next, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, you know, all of these go together. When you have a hole in the soul and you don't believe in God, neither are you using every gift, and you are covetous and you are boasters to your own destruction, and you are proud and you are blasphemers and you are unthankful for who God made you. Indeed, the other thing is, we're going to see if we can find our own contentment in everything that is unholy. You don't have the natural affection of male for a female. It becomes a male to a male and a female to a female, since the other thing is not working. Maybe this will work. You see the problems here? Those are problems that are existing among God's people today. It existed in the past. It is in the last days. And of course, we don't stand in the judgment of anybody else, because if you look at the other traits of character, we may have one or two of them as well. So we don't look at others down because we think that their sin is greater than ours. That is not true. Their needs are the same like ours. They are going about satisfying those needs in another erroneous way that is different from our own error. It does not make us more righteous than they are. But it also should compel us to love them and pray for them as Jesus loved us and prayed for us. And then, of course, that natural affection, truce breakers, it's all the time like that. They say something and do something else. They make a promise that they will do something good and end up breaking on that promise. And they become also traitors in one form or another. False accusers, you know, to defend your own errors, you have to accuse someone else of it. You know, or try to grab someone along with you to hold that someone also responsible for your own decision. False accusers. So you wouldn't say, I made the choice. You would shift it to somebody else. False accusers for their own personal gains. And secondly, incontinent means out of self-control. No control. Things just happen. No self-discipline. Right is wrong and wrong is right. It's quite a mess. It's quite a mess. Fierce, this means angry. When they don't get their way, when you say sorry, no, when you can't give anymore, they try to turn on you. Because the Holy Spirit is not in them. Despisers of those that are good. Of course. As long as there are some other people who are trying to be proactive, they call them all manners of names. And they try to discourage them. And they try to trace some people against them. They try to hold them back. And Jesus said, rejoice if they despise you and call you all manners of name for my sake and the sake of the kingdom, for your reward in heaven is great. So you don't try to spin your wheels trying to fight them. No. Judgment is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You pray for them because you desire that they change. But you also pray for your protection. And your protection is sure. And don't be discouraged by all of the inactive Christians whom the devil may use trying to discourage your walk in Jesus. Yes. Traitors, indeed, they cannot be trusted, neither as friends, nor as brothers and sisters in Christ, nor as family members. They are family members who are betraying each other. Heady, this means hard-headed. High-minded, everyone else is beneath them. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Is that a problem you're having? Is that a problem you're having? All of us have some kind of a hole in the soul. Some of us are smaller than others, some of us are bigger than others. How are you satisfying that? Do you find the pleasures of this world perhaps more appeasing to your soul? You know, now entertainment is such broad. And technology offer great many alternatives to the masking of the symptoms. How many hours do you spend with TV or video games or whatsoever? How many hours do you feel need to spend time with the love of Christ? Yes. Jesus said in the last day those will be taking place. And I cannot assess it for you. I can only assess it for myself. Okay? I need more of Jesus and less of the world. And what I do every morning, I see it, that is the problem in me. I say it, that is, I confess it to the Lord very openly. I surrender it because I can't help it. And then it is God that brings about the substitution. It's amazing how God will let the phone ring before you go to that video game. Or nowadays, texting also works. Or you will get something from somewhere. The Lord will offer you a substitute. So you don't have to invest in the pleasures of the world that make the whole of the soul bigger. Remember that. And that's why I love my Savior. I surrender myself, my struggles of sin every day. I say, Lord, you know even the desire of my heart that prompts me to sin. That also I surrender to you. I cannot save myself. Obviously, I cannot change myself. But I know He has been changing me. And as we studied in Bible study yesterday, He is a God of restoration. And when you restore a building or something, you have to kind of take out the old weak parts and then slowly replace it with the new parts. And then you began to decorate it to make it look beautiful. And my God is the creator. He knows how to melt and mold the clay that He had created. And that is the business Jesus is in. And that is why I love and serve Him. And I pray that I never grow to love pleasure more than love God. That's a serious problem. Why? God forbid, I don't wish any human being, Christian or non-Christian, to suffer adversity. But listen to this carefully. If you got your heart and mind accustomed and conditioned into feeling the temporal satisfaction with things such as TV, computer games, or whatever the world of sin offers. Let us say you have lost the gift of sight. Everything you're dependent upon is not accessible to you anymore. How will you feel? Very severely depressed. Jesus said, what you put in is what comes out. If you invest time in the things that are good and holy, and in companionship with Christ, and in the joy of life, yes. Christ wants us to use every gift and enjoy creation, family, people, in many different ways. Those are the things that neither blindness nor deafness can take away. It's always inside you. And as I shared when I broke my neck, boy, I'm very thankful that at that time, I was active in the service of Christ. I didn't miss anything in the world except playing soccer. And that took toll on me. Will I ever be able to play again? You know, when you have screws here and there, you're like that for 90 days, and the doctor tells you that you went about a choice that is very abnormal to me. You usually have surgery. You chose only to put this, and the chances of it not working is high, and you live with that thought for 90 days, and you fight it by faith, and you live by faith every day, and you see evidence of faith. Will I ever be able to play again? Will I ever be able to use my head again? Will I ever drive again? But what came to bail me out and expedite my hearing is what I invested in. The time of prayer, the devotion, the stories of the Bible were coming one after another in my mind. All of the singing that I have invested in, coming to the sanctuary, listening to all of the song service, learning singing, all of the songs were rushing. Thoughts and memories of people in nursing homes and how God used me to witness their transformation. All of this came to aid me, and my healing was miraculous.
Wow.
It was a great gift that I was able to walk with this on the street, even though everyone would slow down their car and look at me as a Martian, and I couldn't turn even to look at them. I had only one way to go. I can only walk straight. Your brain said turn. To turn, all of your body must turn. But I was able to walk. And suddenly the miracle came. And today I'm very grateful I'm able to walk again, pray again, and drive again, and play soccer again, and score with my head again, but I am much more cautious this time. Jesus said, what you treasure in your heart is what comes out, for out of the heart are the issues of life. So therefore, I'd rather that we all choose to be lovers of God more than lovers of pleasure, because we are living in a very cruel world, very uncertain world. And if our world change, will we change? Or will we remain steadfast and strong, as the Bible says? The next one, the last verse 5, Those inactive Christians have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They believe that there is God, they believe that there is a Savior, just mentally. But they do not apply neither the power of prayer nor the word of God in their decision making. Therefore, they lose the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul in Romans 1:16 said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to whosoever believeth, to the Jew and also to the Greek. These type of Christian forego the power of God because they don't spend time in prayer. Neither do they seek the knowledge of God every day. Therefore, all of their decision is self-centered. Therefore, it becomes self-destructive. And the Bible is saying, because they become a drain, like the Dead Sea, it is okay if you want to avoid them and if you need to avoid them. There are some church family members that I have avoided in my lifetime, not because I think I'm better than them. That's not true. There was not in me anymore any strength that I can afford to help them. Everything failed. And this also exists in my own family members. I avoid because I will be drained. And if I'm drained, I will not be able to do good to anybody else. So I don't avoid because I dislike or because I hate. It is because I know my limitation and I want to preserve the blessing God has given me and pass them on to those who ask, seek, and knock. As I ask, seek, and knock. And God always provides. They're having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That was the case of the Pharisees and the high priest and the Sadducees who were in the church when Jesus came. They gave their tithe, they did their mint, so they went through the rituals. But Jesus said, you have omitted the weightier things of the law, which love and mercy is. I want to conclude with verse 7. Listen to this, and if that is a problem you're having, it is time to pray for it. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They go to Bible studies, they read the Bible, they hear sermons, they talk about it. So, theologically, they are well informed. Spiritually, they're dead. They haven't experienced yet the power of truth. Because they keep postponing or rejecting it. They don't want to pray because they don't want to change. They feel that God is going to take the toy away. They don't perceive it as a great, harmful, and lethal object until it becomes. They don't read the Bible every day because it's going to tell them what they need to do. So they don't want to change. It's unfortunate that circumstances will be imposed upon them and force them to make a choice. At that time, many things have changed and many losses have been incurred. All of these things happen, my brothers and sisters, because of discontentment. We are unable to be thankful for every gift and blessing God has given us. And therefore, we do not invest it in anything that is good for the honor, love, and glory of Jesus, and we end up losing a lot. You know, Socrates, a Greek philosopher, 470 BC, that is before Christ, wrote these words. He said, contentment is a natural wealth. Luxury and discontentment is an artificial poverty. And he was not the Apostle Paul. 600 years later, the Apostle Paul talks about it this way. He says, in all things therewith, I learned to be content. For contentment and godliness is the greatest gain. Are you discontent this morning? Or are you very content and thankful? And if you have that attitude of gratitude to Jesus for the spiritual riches, the mental ability to discern and to learn and to make decisions, the physical health and well-being, if you are very content and thankful for your ability to get up in the morning and go to school and go to work and make a living and earn an income, and are you really thankful for the spiritual and the financial blessing God has given you, or do you believe it's all about you? I pray that as you read those words again, that you earnestly plead with Jesus that you die of self. And that you cry with the Apostle Paul, if I live, I live Christ. And if I die, it is gain. Therefore, whether I live or I die is unto the Lord. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together. Lord, all of us here know with certainty that you have created us. You are the author of our life on this earth. That you have saved us from sin and iniquity within and without, and spared our life from great losses and destruction. Thank you for the gift of your rich love for us, which is unconditional to us sinners. Thank you for the knowledge of life, for offering us the gift and power of prayer, for the transformation that we have seen in our life, and for the restoration that your Holy Spirit continues to perform in our lives. We come to you acknowledging that our existence is a gift from thee. We also acknowledge the hole in our soul and our struggle to satisfy it in all earthly sinful means. We cannot save ourselves, Lord Jesus. You are alone our Savior. You are our God. We surrender all of our needs and wants, all of our wrong and right decision, past, present, and to come, to the control of your Holy Spirit. That as you melt us and mold us, that you complete your work of righteousness in us. Daily, O Lord, it is our prayer. That you grant us your Holy Spirit to guide us with the attitude of gratitude and with the spirit of servitude, that we may love one another and all of thy people on this earth as you have loved us. But grant us your knowledge and your wisdom in all decisions as you save us from all evil. For thine alone is the kingdom and the power and the glory in the universe, in our life, on earth and in heaven, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.